Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary super intelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of Cheap Fun.
You kind of like whatever it is you like.
Football's football.
Football is football.
Athletics is athletics.
Yeah, football's football.
The best part of football is football. And so you got to do football.
Football's football. No one would get better at us to play football.
Football's football.
I think it's a Himalayan snowcock.
What is the freaking Texans doing?
He did it early. He did a lot of dirt.
It's insane. The era has become.
Head coach?
Oh, God. What?
Kick the ball, you little bitch.
Space Force.
All right, nice to have you along. It's the club hour where we traditionally, the Monday after the Super Bowl, go through the ads, the commercials.
As two white guys, shouldn't we complain about everything? I mean, let's go.
We can.
Let's start our bitch fest.
I'm trying to think if I have any complaints. I don't really have any complaints. Yeah. I would say that the ads were...
Yeah, they were fine.
Yeah.
I say the same thing every year. They're never as great as people say they used to be, and I never think they're terrible. There's a handful of ones that are clever that always make me chuckle. There's usually one or two that I'm like, oh, that's really
it's
good.
Insane.
And the rest of it just kind of, you know, falls by
the wayside.
I thought
the Catherine O'Hara, William Defoe.
Yeah, the Michelob Ultra ones.
Ultra Hustle one was great.
Yeah, pickleballs.
Where they're hustling people for their Michelob Ultras.
Yes.
In pickleball. That was great. That was great partly because of who they cast for it. Like, I'm sorry, Catherine O'Hara... Absolutely perfect for that.
Yeah.
And so is William Defoe.
Yeah. And
Willem Defoe.
It's William, right?
No.
Willem.
His name's Willem.
Oh, Willem. Yeah. By the way, great shape.
Yeah.
You know, he was showing out the guns.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of fun.
I thought the, I don't know how people felt about this one, but I thought the David Beckham thing, because, you know, they teased that, the Stella Artois bit where they teased that way ahead of the Super Bowl.
A lot of people are doing that now where they tease the commercials.
Yeah, where his parents sat him down in a pub and said, hey, David, we've never told you this, but you have a brother.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes and finds him. And it was freaking Matt Damon.
Now, that came in. So, you know, they do a...
it was a good bit.
Yeah, the advertisers do the ranking on watched in the positive reviews.
I have it right here, the ad meter.
Yeah, Stella came in at number 4.
Did it?
Yeah. The Dave and Dave commercial, that came in at 4.
I looked at... I was just looking at the top 3.
3 was Michelob Ultra, the Ultra Hustle. 2 was the little farmer for Lay's, the little girl growing the potato.
Yeah,
you like that. And I... Can I say I think beer commercials do it better than anyone else. And I really enjoyed both of the big beer commercials. I guess Stella was one too, but The Budweiser first delivery, the Clydesdale, that was the best ranked.
Yeah, it was
commercial.
Ranked number one.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't
know.
You
didn't like that one?
I liked it mainly because of the song. I think that song is kick ass.
Yeah.
And I had to go put that on my Spotify mm-hmm. after I heard it.
Yeah.
Hadn't heard that song in years. I'm like, oh, yeah. Let Your Love let your love flow or yeah. Let Your Love Go or
let
something.
Let Your Love Flow.
And who is that? It's the. That's the
Doobie Brothers, I think, right?
No, it's not the Doobies. It's the. What's their name? Anyway, it was
the Bellamy Brothers.
The Bellamy Brothers, yeah. It was the one where the horse couldn't go out to deliver the beer. He was too young.
And then a keg gets left behind, and so it delivers it itself. Yeah. And then it's like, hey, delivery and since 18, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, come on, it's cute. Look, Budweiser always does a good job.
And then my favorite one that came in at number 7 on the ad meter, but it was my favorite, is Bud Light's back. The Big Man on the Cul-de-Sac was the best one with Post Malone and Shane Gillis. And then Peyton Manning in the jorts. That was great. I very much enjoyed the Big Man on the Cul-de-Sac.
Yeah, they're having a lame party.
Yeah. And Post Malone and Shane Gillis are there in their dad outfits. And the neighbor's having a lame party, and so they invite him over, and they get a great block party going.
What was it? Something about, is your lawnmower a
Yeah, he goes, your
cooler?
Lawnmower is a smoker? And he goes, no, my smoker cuts grass. Yeah, I pretty much spent my entire money on it. And then there's this giant cooler, and Peyton Manning shows up and asks Shane Gillis, that's a lot of Bud Lights. How many does that hold? And he looks at him and goes, as many as you need.
Yeah, that was good.
I that was my favorite. I also really liked the Uber Eats Century of Cravings, where McConaughey was doing he was Ditka and all the different, it's a conspiracy theory to sell food. McConaughey as Ditka was, that put it over the top.
Did you like Flag 50? I see that's number 6.
No, I
on
thought
here.
That one was dumb.
I kind of liked it.
Did you?
Well, he walks up and goes, I'm Brad. She goes, yeah, I can read. I thought that was pretty good.
The only thing about that one is no.
Because Brad was on his shirt.
Yeah. Just no man would ever be proud of or think that playing flag football is tough. Like,
I know, but that's not the point.
I know. It's just the whole ad was like they want to make flag football a varsity sport for women, which is great.
The NFL does.
Yeah, the NFL does. But the whole premise of men being upset that women are playing flag football, no man wants to play flag football. That might be the least manly activity known to man.
How about an appearance from plasticky Meg Ryan?
Yeah, that was weird.
For the Hellman's ad.
Yeah, that was weird.
And can I give you a little something that I didn't anticipate, but I jotted it down because I hadn't heard the song in freaking years, maybe 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
But Mama Said Knock You Out in the cancer ad?
Yeah. Yeah.
LL Cool J appreciation moment.
Yeah. And it was a cool ad, but people are pissed because it was Pfizer.
Yeah, I know.
And Pfizer doesn't have a great reputation.
I understand. But
cool.
I was more like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Mama Said Knock You Out. And then I'm starting to like groove to the song.
Oh yeah, dude.
And then I went down a rabbit hole of LL Cool J music.
Yeah, oh yeah. LA's the man.
Well, I don't know about that.
Dude, back in the day, LL Cool J was...
Well, back in the day he was.
Not anymore. Now he's a weird, puffy actor.
But. Is that his best song?
Oh, that's a bold
statement.
It's
the best intro to a song. Don't call it a comeback.
Yeah.
It's so good when it starts.
That video, like, eighth grade me thought that video, and if you don't know, he was in a boxing ring with, like, a hoodie on, and it was black and white. Eighth grade me thought that was the coolest freaking music video of all time. And LL Cool J is underappreciated.
I just had forgotten about him and that. And it's like, wow, how about that?
He went into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame a couple years ago, and it was him and like Eminem did some stuff. It was pretty good. But because you got like old LL Cool J, like Rock the Bells, and then you had like, later on, you had him like being like he was singing like love songs, like, you know, like Hey Lover and stuff. So there's like two LLs. I tend to like the earlier LL a little bit more.
All right. Well,
I'm trying to think if there's, the Harrison Ford Jeep one I thought was pretty good.
I was reading an article today about him, about why we're seeing him in all these endorsement campaigns now.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty good. It was basically saying, you know, it's kind of the new way that old guys like him,
mm-hmm.
and he's in stuff. He's in Shrinking.
Yeah,
and,
but he's like 80.
But it's kind of the new way that those guys stay relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, by the way, he can charge $5 million.
Yeah.
And he said, they said that he used to hate doing those. He said he doesn't, he's like, I'm not doing that. I'm Harrison freaking Ford. Yeah. I don't need to do that. But they've convinced him, they've let him have some, like, he really likes the, like, he it's very important to him how he comes across and what the writing is and what the product is, and everything has to be right.
Yeah.
So they've let him kind of have
some control.
I don't know control, but he can sign off. Sure. And they basically signed a deal with Jeep, or I think it was Jeep, or it was one of his other ones. Maybe it was, he had a Scotch company he was doing, where they said, if you don't like this, we're scrapping the whole thing.
Hmm.
And so, he was like, okay, I'll do it.
That's creative control.
So his team is like, well, Harry, this is a great way for you to, a la Martha Stewart, just stay in the, you know, you're staying relevant culturally. And you make $5 million to do it. And he's like, all right.
Why not?
Throw in my earring. I'll be there in 10 minutes.
I saw someone say that the commercials are the who's who of who wants to stay rich.
Sure. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Martha was in one, too.
Yeah, Martha was in one. I just like the you know, this Jeep makes me happy even though my name's Ford.
Although, I have a feeling that Harrison Ford is going to stay rich, and Martha Stewart, no matter whether they do an ad or not.
That's correct.
They don't have to do endorsement campaigns.
That is true.
It used to be beneath actors like him.
Yeah.
But it's not anymore.
No. It's nice. I don't know. I think it's kind of cool to see Harrison Ford being out there.
You know what
the
like?
One, the only one that I didn't like that I thought was dumb, and I saw it twice, was the stupid anti-hate commercial with Tom Brady and Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, who hates hate?
I love so hate. Stupid.
I think that it's fun when... It's like, and Matt Damon is the epitome of this, but Harrison Ford's got a little bit of it now. When you find out that you're a very serious actor... Is fun and funny.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Like Matt Damon.
Yeah, he's got a great personality.
He's just great.
Affleck's like that.
Affleck.
Yeah.
And now Harry Ford's got a little bit
of that. They don't take themselves so seriously.
Yeah, they're willing to...
They're willing to be the butt of a joke, or be lighthearted. And yeah, I like that.
I'm down on that. Whereas Christopher Walken... Yeah. You know?
Why are you going there?
What?
Christopher Walken.
Did you just do that in an accent?
No. Is that New York?
What was that? What? We're going to need to clip that.
Why are you going there?
Why are you going there?
Did you do that for Christopher Walken?
I do that.
Do what?
What
are you talking about?
What did you say about Christopher Walken?
I said, unlike Christopher Walken, who would never do something like that.
Oh, I thought
But he kind of does.
Though. I know. I thought you were taking a shot at Christopher Walken.
Well, I kind of was, but then...
Yeah, so I heard it right. Why are you taking shots?
Well, Why are you doing that? You don't even know what I said.
You were taking a shot at him.
What are you doing here?
Why are you doing it? Hey, Christopher Walken.
But then I thought, you know, he will do... Well, he does SNL.
And he did, like, Lay's commercials. He's done Super Bowl commercials.
You're right. I stand down on that. That was an unfair shot.
I didn't like you taking shots at my man.
Well, I was just thinking about the article we talked about here, the interview with him recently, where he's very serious. You know, he's a very serious man.
Yes.
But you're right. He does have the ability to laugh at himself.
Yeah, loosen up.
Be funny.
Yeah.
Who should I have thrown in there?
I just didn't like that. That was an unfair shot.
We do that.
Hey, what are you doing? Hey.
It's really good. The clip's really good.
Who should... Before we wrap this up, like, who's like the takes themselves too seriously guy?
Tommy Lee Jones. He's like a notorious red hat. Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yes.
Method actors.
Ooh, Daniel Day-Lewis. There you go.
Christian Bale.
Yeah, lighten up, dude.
Yeah.
Settle down, cookie.
Well, you know, I would say Anthony Hopkins, but he's even kind of let his hair down and done a couple things.
He's loosened up a little bit.
All right. More hot Super Bowl talk next. Do we need... Oh, I have... here's the tease. Did you see the... you know, because they'll do the celebrity panoramic... Or the pan around for celebs.
Who's there?
Did you see who was sitting next to each other, like, palling around? It was the oddest couple you've ever seen.
Huh. I mean, I remember... Like,
and they're not a couple, but...
Okay. I saw some people, but
in what world are these two hanging out?
All right, I'm intrigued.
We've got that next on The Fan.
Why are you going there?
Why are you going there? You belong in New York.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
You're the next Mike and the Mad Dog.
Well, there was some shots at our guy, Christopher Walken.
Yeah, why are you going there?
I didn't like it.
And when you get really mad.
Why are you going there?
You doing New York accent.
I guess.
Big deal.
It's my Mike Francesa.
It's obscene. So I saw John Hamm. So they had John Hamm and who's
Bradley
the guy?
Cooper. It was Cooper, a GD Handsome off to start the game, and Hamm was housed.
Yeah, I love John Hamm. Do we need more John Hamm in our lives?
I'm a big believer of more John Hamm is always good.
Because I feel like we don't have the right amount. Like, if you took everything that Jason Kelce is doing and insert John Hamm, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, at least 50%.
Yeah.
50% less Kelce, 50% more John Hamm, and now we're talking.
He's great.
And I enjoy that. Like, what's the two most handsome men we can think of that are fans of the Eagles and the Chefs? One was drunk, and the other one was holding, like, a special needs kid, and I don't know, away we go.
I can't say I knew that Hamm was a Chiefs guy.
He's a Midwest guy. I always thought he was a St. Louis guy. But,
yeah, I thought he was a St. Louis guy as well.
But apparently he's a Chiefs fan, too, and poor bastard, his voice cracked at the biggest moment.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, that's right. So I could live that one down. Cooper hit it out of the ballpark, though.
So did you figure out what I was talking about?
I was trying to think, because they kept showing all the different celebrities up there, and I'm trying to think of, like, what pairing I saw that was like, that's weird.
I want to see, was McCartney and someone?
No, Paul McCartney was up there.
Yeah, McCartney was up there.
He was with his family, though, I think, wasn't he?
They showed Kevin Hart a bunch. He was up there flapping around. Bradley Cooper, Ice Spice, and T-Swizzle.
They had, it was just the oddest. Honestly, I don't think you could get a more oddball pairing.
Mm-hmm.
Than these two, and they were sitting next to each other, talking to each other, clearly engaged with one another.
What do we got?
Kevin Costner and Pete Davidson.
Okay, I do remember that. I do remember seeing Kevin Costner and
Pete Davidson. So what is that about?
I don't know.
How does that happen? Are they friends?
What those thing is like that's a production company like Paramount or something has the suite, and both of those guys got tickets through their entertainment agency, and they just happened to be sitting there together.
And there's only a finite number of suites, and anybody who wants one, like, ultimately not everyone's going to get their own, so there will be people of same industry sharing.
But then how does Pete Davidson and Kevin Costner bond? Does Pete initiate? I assume Pete initiates.
Pete has to initiate. I'm guessing Kevin Costner has no idea who Pete Davidson is.
And are they buddies now? I have questions.
Yeah, I don't know.
Costner seems pretty cool, like, if you got him.
Yeah.
I mean, he takes himself pretty seriously.
He does take himself very seriously.
But I think he's also seems like, you know, fairly down to earth.
I'll tell you what, given the choice between sitting next to Pete Davidson or Kevin Costner, I'd rather sit next to Kevin Costner. What am I going to talk to Pete Davidson about? Like, what's it like to do shrooms? Like, oh my God, Pete.
I think he's kind of funny.
The Kevin Costner, to me.
But Costner's got certainly a lot more to offer.
Yeah, that to me is a very, very interesting guy. Who has a lot of passion projects.
I just don't think you're getting a lot out of him.
I would like to sit next to Kevin Costner. Pete Davidson, I just...
But Costner's not going to give you anything.
I'm not certain. I bet you if you asked Costner about Kevin Costner, he would love it. I think, like, if you sat down next to Taylor Swift and were like, oh my God, it's Taylor Swift, what's it like to be you? Nothing's happening. I think if you sat down and were like, oh my God, Kevin Costner, I love your movies. Please talk to me about directing XYZ or what it was like. And maybe you brought up a movie that isn't as, like, a Perfect World is one of my favorite Kevin Costner movies that isn't like a huge smash. Or just ask him about, like, Horizon, his pet project. And brother, that guy is going to go on for 9 years. He loves to talk about Kevin Costner.
I don't think he would with you, though, is the problem.
Why are you going there?
Why go in there? Maybe Costner was asking him for some tips on how to hit the hots, because nobody's got a list like Pete.
Yeah, Pete's doing great.
Costner's single now.
He's getting all his tattoos removed, and you think Costner has a hard time getting hots?
No,
it's a different kind of hot.
I bet Kevin Costner can do well with just about any kind of hot.
Well, he can, but you know, Pete's
Pete's got a reputation.
Another level.
Yeah, dude, Pete's doing great.
Did you see the Trump Jackson Mahomes photo?
Oh yeah. Well, the whole turns out the whole Mahomes family loves them some Trumpies, and so yeah, the whole family was up there taking photos with the POTUS.
Trump regaling Jackson with tales of his old groping days. I can show you a thing or two, kid.
Those guys have surprisingly a lot in common, given everything and inappropriately advancing towards women.
Yeah, they do. A lot of class in that photo, huh?
Yeah, certainly is something. They gave him. I've heard different angles because, like, when they first showed him, it seemed like the crowd was cheering, and then I saw other videos when he was on the field, and tons of people were booing. So shocking.
No,
half the crowd hated him, half the crowd loved him, but he was the first sitting U.S. president to ever go to a Super Bowl.
So 30 seconds of airtime on the Super Bowl cost you $8 million.
It's a lot of coin.
That's crazy. That's a record.
Yeah. And you wonder why, like, people do the halftime show for free. It costs you $8 million to get shown for 30 seconds, and you get to be on there for 15 minutes uninterrupted. Yeah, that's worth something. You see Kendrick Lamar, like, his streams and, like, his tickets. I mean, all that stuff just goes through the roof after,
yeah,
after that performance.
Yeah, that's to be expected. But I kind of wonder, like, you know, let's just say the three of us bought an ad.
Yeah.
With our millions.
Kanye West did it.
How big of a difference does that make for a product or whatever you're pushing? You know, like Buck brought this up. He was talking about how, you know, if it's towards the end of the game and a blowout, a lot of people have been drinking. Yeah. They're at a party. Like, what is the actual, I mean, I get it. You're basing the price off of how many eyeballs are on it.
Sure.
So you're paying that freight.
Yeah.
What's the most effective time to place your ad?
Well, everyone always wants it right around the halftime.
Because more people. Sense.
That's when the most viewers.
But is there a law of diminishing returns if you get into the second half and it's a blowout?
Yes.
And people aren't really paying attention. Like, I know that I did. You know, we were just talking about the ads in the last segment.
Yeah.
There's several of them I had to go back and rewatch.
I'll bet you.
Because I was captive. It was just me watching the game at home, and I still missed some of them.
I'll bet you that it's harder to get your ad in the beginning and near half than it is at the end.
Yeah, I think I'd want that first commercial break or so.
You do. And I think that's where you see most of the big heavy hitters.
Because people are watching for them.
And by then, again, people are kind of tuned out. The game's a blowout. If people have been drinking, all that stuff. You want to be towards the beginning. And by the way, the text line is right. If I were to sit next to Kevin Costner, you know what I would open with? I would tell Kevin Costner that Avatar ripped him off from Dances with Wolves. That's the sort of suck up that I think gets Kevin Costner to talk to me.
His eyes may just light up.
Yes.
Like, finally, someone noticed.
I'm like, hey, Kevin, does it bother you that Avatar made $1 billion and they just ripped you off and made a horse crap CGI version?
It's like, I think I like you, Jason.
Of your masterpiece?
What was your name again?
And then I think he just launches into being Kevin Costner, and I'm interested in listening to Kevin Costner being Kevin Costner.
Yeah, I think the way you turn him off is ask him about Yellowstone.
Yes.
Ask him about being...
Yeah.
John
Dutton.
John Dutton.
No, you got to go to the stuff he loves. You talk about the Old West.
Up next, there was a bit of a catastrophe last night that no one noticed, but somebody pointed it out on social media, and worth mentioning here. We will get to that next. Here's Buck.
Why are you going there?
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We had another plane incident.
What happened?
In Scottsdale, at one of the little private airports in Scottsdale, with all the little PJs flying in.
All the Richies.
I guess Vince Neil of Motley Crue.
What?
By the way, who knew Vince Neil had a private jet? He's got private jet money? I guess so. But I guess his jet skidded off the runway and crashed into a smaller jet. And not like a fire explosion, but think like massive car wreck, and it killed the pilot. He wasn't on the plane. His girlfriend was. She broke a bunch of ribs and
killed the pilot of his plane.
It didn't say. It just said one of the. When you look at like it, completely crumpled the front of the other plane. So I think it's probably that pilot, because the bigger jet basically just demolished the front of the other one.
So he had the bigger jet.
I think he had the bigger jet. But yeah, it's his plane, but I guess he wasn't on it, but his girlfriend was. So a bunch of people went to the hospital, and you don't really think about like head-on collisions with airplanes on the ground, but you know, I guess when you think about how fast you're going on the runway to take off, you skid out and crash headfirst into another jet. The hell's going on with airplanes, man?
Why are they going there?
Why are you going there? Don't take shots, Christopher Walken. I turn into a Brooklyn whatever.
A cab driver, I think.
I came across this thread last night, or maybe it was today, of some tech bro who said the following. He put a thread up and he said, 2025 Super Bowl will go down in history not because of Kendrick Lamar, Donald Trump, or Taylor Swift, but because big tech spent $200 million to advertise AI only for their worst nightmare to come true on air. And then he says, the wild story you missed last night. So he writes, for the first time ever, AI companies dominated advertising, spending a staggering $8 million per 30-second spot. OpenAI, Google, Meta, and Salesforce all battled for America's attention. But what happened next shocked everyone. OpenAI's debut commercial, The Intelligence Age, aimed high. And you saw that one, right? That was the one with the... It was like the history of human innovation, the wheel, and then...
The Meta one was the glasses one. Right, so, with Ray-Ban.
Yeah, so he says, a cinematic journey through human innovation from the wheel to the light bulb to the internet. Their message? ChatGPT was the next great leap in human progress, but the reaction from the crowd? Uninterested. So Google saw this as their moment to shine. They created 50 different AI-powered commercials, one for each state. Each ad showed how their Gemini AI could help local businesses thrive. Then disaster struck. Their algorithm made a catastrophic error about cheese consumption. The ad had to be pulled mid-game. Even more telling, 31 out of the 39 Super Bowl advertisers admitted that they didn't trust their AI to create the actual ads. The irony was painful. Meta promoted AI glasses. Salesforce showcased AI assistants. Together, tech giants spent over $200 million promoting artificial intelligence, but they all faced the same impossible challenge. How do you make people trust something that isn't human? The NFL embraced AI everywhere. Automated highlight reels, real-time statistic generation, AI-powered cameras tracking every player. Even injury prevention was driven by AI. But something unexpected was about to steal the show. While the tech giants struggled with their polished AI narratives, raw human emotion erupted. Charles O'Minihue crying uncontrollably on the sideline. Patrick Mahomes, tears in his eyes, embracing teammates. These weren't staged moments. It was real. And when Donald Trump came in and stole the show, when shown on the Jumbotron during Joe Batiste's national anthem, he stood and saluted. The packed stadium roared in approval, a moment of raw, unscripted unity. the beautiful unpredictability of human reactions. The Eagles' victory celebration showed it all best. Players embracing, you know, not polished PR moments. They were moments of pure human connection that no AI could replicate. And the takeaway was clear. In the increasingly AI-driven world, authenticity stands out more than anything. While tech companies spent millions to appear human, it was real moments created by real people that stole the show. And then he goes on to, there's a deeper takeaway for everyone on this. Your greatest competitive advantage isn't technology, it's your humanity. Your ability to forge real connections, just like those Super Bowl moments showed us.
First off, I don't know if any of that is like true and then is going to take hold, but I love that.
Yeah.
I think that's fantastic because this is my old man yelling to the clouds moment. And I'm not yelling. I just understand that like as I get older, again, I understand that things aren't meant for me. And I'm totally okay with that. And the worst thing you can do as a guy that's getting older is I liked it my way back in the day. And so to hell with you. Right? Like that you just come across as ignorant and out of touch. But I really just have no desire to go down the AI road. I really don't. Like, we're reaching a point where there will be no human interaction, right? Like, I saw, what was it? I think my kid is going to school to be a computer coder, right? And I think Zuckerberg recently came out and said that a lot of their code is going to be written by AI now. And there won't be anyone to work. And we know the, you know, with self-driving cars, that was Musk's thing, is there'll be no more Uber drivers. There'll be no more truckers. Now no one wants to order anything, right? Everything wants to be done through the app and delivered to you and left at your doorstep. And it just feels like, again, to go down this road, we're losing our ability to actually talk to other human beings. There's a whole plague with, have you ever seen like young kids, anytime they have to pick up the phone and call someone or go face to face with an interview, their anxiety levels go through the roof. And that's, I couldn't agree more. That's not what we're supposed to be.
It's just an interesting observation that, you know, that all these companies threw a bunch of money at this, thinking the time is now. You know, and it, he's right. It pretty much all backfired.
I love it.
They had to pull ads.
I want it to backfire. I don't think that
I mean,
does.
Look, the point here, overarching, is that it doesn't mean anything in terms of the advancement of AI and all
sure,
that.
Sure, it's coming.
It is, but it's just for a brief moment in time, authenticity stole the show.
Well, aren't we reaching
I'm
a
glad
point
he pointed
where
that out.
Just because, again, what's the old adage? Because you can do it doesn't mean that you should. I just think a lot of times when we make advancements, did anyone ask for those advancements or stop to think, is that good for us? That's my old man.
Yeah.
You know, but I get it. Again, it's coming.
Well, you got to go there. All right. We'll wrap it up next on The Fan. That concludes our Super Bowl content.
Till tomorrow when we do the Super Bowl leftovers.
I don't really have any in my notes.
You've blown out the...
I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about it. You know, things inevitably come up. But I think this is the first Super Bowl that I think I've got through everything that I had in my notes.
Let's go, Birds!
Yeah, it usually doesn't happen.
No.
You know, usually there's some meat left on the bone. But yeah, it was kind of it was over very quickly.
Yeah, it was a blowout.
Yeah. I think in closer games, maybe there's a little bit more to get into. But yeah, you're right. But what else are you going to talk about? You going to talk about the big Four Nations tournament coming up?
Pitchers and catchers.
Hey, TGL.
Yeah, TGL Tuesday tomorrow.
My goodness. What's the big...
Actually, I regret to inform you, I think we have a week off of TGL. We don't get it back till next week. Yeah.
Why would they do that?
They don't understand how big a part of our show is on Tuesdays.
Unbelievable.
That is unbelievable. Yeah, we venture into the new year.
It's our new calendar year.
For Sports Talk.
It's our Lunar New Year for Sports Talk.
Where we have to kind of drum some crap up.
There you go. Someone will do something stupid.
They always do.
Yeah.
Somebody always steps in it.
Someone will get caught doing something or, you know. Did you see any of the... Were you following any of the Kanye West stuff over the last couple days?
God, I mean, I've seen it, but I don't care enough to...
My man was on a Twitter heater that I've never seen.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Flew too close to the sun, though. Eventually got banned.
Yeah. Isaac and I talked a little bit about that Friday before the show, but then did you see... You know, you mentioned that he had a commercial ad that aired in a bunch of different markets. I don't think it was all markets, but apparently it sent people to his website where he was selling t-shirts with a swastika on it.
Yeah. I was watching the feed out of Los Angeles, whatever local Fox was in LA, and I certainly saw it, and I was like, oh my God, they let him have a commercial? That dude, like, 2 days ago called himself Yeetler. He was the Black Hitler.
Yeah.
And, like, they let him have a Super Bowl ad? But they remember, like, they wouldn't let, like, Ashley Madison have an ad, but they let a guy who called himself the Black Hitler, they let him have an ad? That's interesting. And selling swastika t-shirts. Way to go, Kanye. But sometimes, yeah, the local, remember, because like Will Ferrell did those old Milwaukee ads, but those only aired in like
small markets,
small
right?
Small markets.
Yeah.
So,
do you think anyone told Kanye or asked Kanye, why are you going there?
Yeah. Why are you going there? And then like on Sunday, he just started tweeting porn. That was it. He went from like all Jews are evil and they're the devil and Hitler was great. And then like for whatever reason on Saturday, Sunday, he just started tweeting porn and like daring Elon to ban him. And then eventually, I think on Sunday, someone over at Twitter was like, we should probably do something about that. I just would be fascinated to, like, I would love to just sit and observe him while he's, like, he got back on Twitter after an absence and was like, watch this. And it was just like this steady stream. Like,
you've
where
talked
was he?
A little bit about this movie before, but I envision him having that like, Diddy inner monologue that you see in the Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Get Into the Greek, when Diddy's just like talking about what he's texting people, but like way more inflammatory. I imagine it like that.
Was he just sitting on a couch somewhere? Maybe. Just a stream of consciousness flowing out of him? Was he in the bathroom? What was he doing? Like, I just, where's that reality show? I just want to watch Kanye West tweet.
With his permanently naked wife just walking around?
And that's a whole other thing. Yeah, he's a nude wife. I want to know what she's got going on. Because she just looks like a zombie. Like, her face doesn't move, but she just walks around naked with him.
Yeah, it's really weird. They host dinner parties and stuff, and she comes to the table completely naked.
Does she really?
Yes. Huh. There's, like, video of, like, people gathering and breaking bread at Kanye's house, and they're all wearing different stuff, and she's just sitting there naked at the dinner table.
Huh. Are you, like, are you allowed to comment on that?
I don't know how that goes.
Because, yeah, she's just...
What are you going to say?
Well, I don't know. I mean, are you allowed to be like, that's...
Hey, nice tease.
Yeah, I mean, is it rude not to comment? Like, if I showed up at the Rob household and Nurse Nice has the up tops out, is it rude of me to not acknowledge? Or is it rude of me to acknowledge?
I think you just go with it.
And then do I turn to my gal and I'm like, you know, like, or is that like competition? You don't want that?
No, she's the host.
She's the...
don't upstage her.
Like, her name's like Bianca or something?
I think that's right. It's Bianca or Brianna Sensori. Yeah.
Why do we care about these people?
I don't know.
This is my question.
I don't know if anyone cares, like, but they're fascinating.
Are they?
He is such a weird dude.
I just think he's a moron.
Well, according to him, he's a genius. Maybe not a stable genius like our fearless leader, but a genius nonetheless.
All right. Well, good luck with your... What's his name? Kanye? Yeezy.
Yay.
Or Yeetler now. He's Yeetler. He's the Black Hitler.
Good luck with that. All right, well.
Not a fan of the Jews.
What are we going to do tomorrow?
Well, no TGL, no football.
Pitchers and catchers, man.
Pitchers and catchers.
P's and C's. I'll be bringing some hot Mariner takes.
54%. You're our Jerry DeBoto. I feel pretty good. It's what we do on this program, 54%.
Everybody have a great night. We will be back tomorrow. 3-7 on the Fan. Good night. Here comes
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.